Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my podcast, The View from the Middle of the Road. And from here, watching the agony over the incredibly close election and the recounts going on right now in places like Georgia, the lawsuits that have been filed. There is still uncertainty, sadly, about the election just concluded. But with 72 million people voting for President Trump, something like 78 million voting for Joe Biden, you have 150 million votes cast. And you know what? The difference between the two candidates comes down, because of the Electoral College, to the results really in three states, Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia. 50,000 votes. If they had gone the other way in those three states, you would have the president-elect Donald Trump being certified a winner. As it is, we're watching the challenges going on, the audit, the hand audit going on in Georgia. There's still a lot of uncertainty, but in the midst of it all, we had some great news. Moderna, a second vaccine, 95% effective. Hopefully the grim national nightmare is coming to a close. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Huge armies of either supporters of President Trump or opponents of President Trump, all obviously concerned about the transition, if indeed there will be a transition from the 45th to the 46th president. The allies of President Trump are hardening their positions. They have no less than 16 lawsuits filed contesting the election. You know, there's all kinds of concern. I thought, and we still might be hearing from the president this morning. I spoke with him I guess I was already off the air by the time he called. He called several times after 10 o'clock on Friday morning. And I finally spoke to him when I got off the air from Fox Radio at about 10:30. And it was a very heartfelt conversation. And I expressed my concern as to how he was feeling, how he was doing. We talked some about, the state of these challenges, various challenges to the electoral system, or rather to the election itself, which was so close. I mean, people have to get their arms around exactly how close this was. You had a record of about 150 million votes cast. 150 million votes cast. Of the 150 million, 50,000 votes in three states, Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia. 50,000 votes in Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia could have spelled the difference. If 50,000 people in those three states had voted the other way, then it would be President Trump in the driver's seat right now. He would have been the president-elect, or the president-re-elect in his case. But it is 50,000 votes. The president, as I reported widely circulated on Friday, told me that he's a realist and he will do the right thing. But he is far from finished in terms of conceding. He has no inclination to concede. He said, actually, in one of the most recent tweets, "I concede nothing. We have a long way to go." He does have a long way to go in the sense that Al Gore in 2000, Al Gore did not concede in the year 2000 against George W. Bush until December 13th. So it's only November 16th. So the president has time. He has the state electors vote on December 14th. They're chosen by December 8th. So even if you take the December 8th date, Donald Trump has until around that date to concede without gumming up the transition, without making things more difficult and putting the country at risk of chaos in terms of the transition. He has a couple of weeks. If we could all take it for a couple of weeks. You saw the violence, and that's what I was alluding to at the top of the program, where there's great tension between those who believe the president was cheated out of the election somehow, and those who believe that Joe Biden won fair and square and should be right now obtaining all of the briefings necessary for, this surge in coronavirus in terms of national security issues like Azerbaijan and Albania and all these other hot spots around the world. So what I intend to tell the president, and he may very well call when we're on the air, or maybe he'll wait until after we're off the air, I don't know. But a couple of things. In terms of the scandals or controversies involving the vote count, the biggest or deepest conspiracy theory concerning the vote and how the president was allegedly cheated comes from a company called Dominion Voting Systems, this Canadian-owned, Denver-based company that makes voting machines. And there are lots of, you watch the web over the weekend, lots of stories about how Dominion, they had affiliations with George Soros. They donated money to the Clinton Foundation in 2014, that they had some kind of program that changed a Trump vote to a Biden vote. A lot of people think it's just a bogus claim. Most of the mainstream certainly believes that Dominion Voting Systems is a legit company that made an honest count. But obviously the controversy continues. And one of the things about that particular controversy, happily, is that it is relatively easily resolved. For example, and this is what I will tell the president, I'm sure he knows, maybe try to focus, that as of right now in Georgia, there is a hand count going on. A hand audit, they call it, not a recount, an audit, by which they compare the count, the hand count, with the number derived from the computer. You understand what I'm saying? You have the Dominion computer system. They say 100 people voted for Trump and 90 people voted for Biden, just say. Then you have the hand count. If the hand count also shows 100 people voted for Trump and 90 voted for Biden, then the Dominion computer system is okay. It's honest because it is reflected in the hand count, which is totally separate from the computer count. You don't have to do them all. You don't have to do all 5 million of the votes in Georgia. You do a sampling. You do 100 here, 100 there. Pick that random, 100 there, 100 there, and you compare. It is a relatively simple, I hope everybody digs what I'm saying here, compare the computer number, the Dominion voting system computer number, with the number derived from the hand count, the old-fashioned hand count, where a human being actually counts each vote cast. If the two numbers are in sync, if the computer and the hand count come out the same, 100 to 90 in my example, case closed. If the hand count comes out differently than the computer count, that is big trouble, right? Everybody gets that. Everybody should get that. Everybody can understand that it won't be conspiracy theories. It won't be, deep, dark, secret agents doing this or that. It will be a very simple arithmetic count. Here's the computer count, 100 to 90. Here's the hand count, 100 to 90, or 101 to, 89. Or, it'll be close. They're never exactly the same. But if it is within reasonable, a couple of percent, or not even a couple of percent, a fraction of 1%, then the count in Georgia, for instance, was legit. If the count in Georgia was illegitimate, then you could also question the count in Michigan, which used the same system, and some other jurisdictions around the country. When you have 150 million votes cast, 150 million, and only 50,000 spelled the difference between a Biden presidency and a Trump re-election, you can understand why tensions are high. You can understand why there's great skepticism. You can understand why there's a lot of bitter feelings and raw feelings. That's just human nature. But this audit in Georgia, and hopefully it will be resolved today or tomorrow, we'll know. We'll know whether Dominion voting systems was rigged or not. At least we'll have that test. And I urge everybody to pay attention to the Georgia hand-audited post-election vote count. Everyone pay attention. In other news, as we await, you know, some momentous development, and we've had plenty of them, just want to also note Moderna, a second pharmaceutical company, has announced today that its vaccine is almost 95% effective. Moderna, 95% effective. Pfizer, you know, is over 90% effective. We've got this disease in our sights. In the meantime, in this crucial period, in these next several weeks or a month or two, as the vaccine is distributed, let's not lose sight of what we have to do in terms of social distancing and mask wearing and hand washing and so forth. I mean, let's not lose this battle just as we're on the verge of victory. So Moderna, 95% effective in their vaccine. So briefly again, Dominion voting systems audit, pay attention to it. Biden transition team should have briefing access. Moderna vaccine, 95% effective. There's a lot going on today, ladies and gentlemen, and we're all over it. All right, Monday, November 16th, Dr. Robert Fafalak is on the line, our dear friend and go-to expert. So, Dr. Bob, I'm coming to New York to do the five. I'm coming Wednesday. How worried should I be? And the reason I brought you on is to talk about the Moderna vaccine, but we've had here in Cuyahoga, here in Northeast Ohio, in the Cleveland County, we have 1,000 cases over the weekend. Everybody is freaking out. What is going on, first of all, with this great surge, this horrible surge, and then we'll talk about this second vaccine.
Well, in New York, it's sort of been on the sort of rise, but not as vast a curve as in other states. And I think that because of New York being prepared from before. So, and the boroughs are so dichotomous in terms of who is getting more of the virus. Manhattan's very low, whereas places like the Bronx and Queens, it's higher. So it seems like more of a pocket-driven kind of incidents. However, I think with most other states, New York and in particular New York City has not been as vastly increasing as it was in some other states, including Ohio, unfortunately.
So if I drive to New York, I hate the airports. I'm going to avoid it. If I drive to New York and I go straight to the hotel and wear my mask and don't hang out with crowded, sweaty people, it's reasonably secure.
I believe it's reasonably secure. I think that
you're there.
Sure, the traffic. Absolutely. It's reasonably secure for sure. And the idea is to not go in places where there are a lot of people, where especially where the ventilation is not great, such the fact that it puts you at a particular risk that you may not necessarily want to be in. That's the bottom line.
Right. So Moderna now, the stock market's about to open and go crazy. It's the futures, Dow futures are up almost 500 points. Moderna now saying that its late stage trial is well underway and that their vaccine is 95% effective. I mean, that sounds like amazing, amazing news. Is it not amazing, amazing news? How soon before the ordinary person, not just the ordinary, the high risk person, when did the vaccine start getting inoculated into people's arms, Dr. Bob?
I think the Pfizer and the Moderna seem to be very, very optimistic in terms of the initial findings, in terms of protecting patients, not only perhaps maybe not allowing them to get it, but if they do get it, they may get a less severe illness. I would say looks like Pfizer's a little bit ahead of the curve, that maybe perhaps by the end of the year, Moderna probably somewhere towards the early part of 21, maybe into the spring. The key is the semantics of distributing the vaccine as well as you know, because of the storage is a little bit of a question. With the Moderna vaccine, it seems like perhaps it doesn't have to be in those sub-zero kinds of temperatures in order to transport, which would make it very optimistic where it'll be stable and be able to be stored. That will allow it to get into doctor's offices and that kind of stuff much more easily in that particular fashion, if that's the case.
So in your practice, your very active practice in Manhattan, when do you expect, you know, you're an eminent doctor, but your patients aren't particularly all from one risk group or another. When does Dr. Bob Fafala get his first, delivery of vaccines to start inoculating your patients?
I hope soon. I'm ready to go. I do have a commercial pharmaceutical freezer. I can't do the minus 90 degrees, but I can put in a freezer, which it seems like some of these vaccines will be stable for some particular time. It's just a matter of the decision about, and it has to do governmentally about who's going to get the vaccine first. I'm hoping to think, you know, in a place like New York City, I would be on the list. I've already applied, but it's up to the Department of Health to distribute it properly. But I think the nursing homes, healthcare workers are going to get it first, which may actually take a huge dent out of the initial stores that we have right now. So I'm hopeful to think that maybe by early next year, January, it would be the type of thing you can go into your doctor's office and at least start getting the vaccine. I'm hoping that to be the way it's going to be.
January as in just after December, in 2 months.
I hope so. I mean, if according to the way this distribution plan happens to be in place as it stands right now, and all's well, I would think that there would be nothing preventing that from happening. There's millions of vaccines doses already available. I'm hoping to think at least on a provisional basis it will be done around that time. I'm very hopeful of that.
Moderna is saying they have 60 million doses of the vaccine available before the end of the year, and that the next year they'll have 1 billion doses just from those two companies, Moderna and Pfizer. So are you hopefully we're seeing that there's not only light at the end of the tunnel, but that the end of this awful, cruel nightmare is in sight, Dr. Bob?
I think for sure this is the most optimistic news, I think, to known date about this virus. These look very promising. The vaccines look very promising. Some of the older vaccines that are very effective, the measles vaccine, et cetera, these things are in that particular level, even higher, that it's amazing how it seems like this is quite preventable in terms of the vaccine efficiency. So this is wonderful. This is great news. And I think it's very optimistic. And the fact that we've been ramping up already to produce the amount of vaccines where we can start distributing right away is another asset towards being prepared to get this thing going right as soon as possible.
Dr. Bob Popolak, I appreciate it. Thanks, mate.
No problem.
I'll see you Wednesday night.
Wonderful. That would be perfect. Looking forward.
All right, buddy. Bill in Wadsworth, what's on your mind, Bill?
Yeah, Geraldo.
How you doing, buddy? What's up?
Hey, I want to let you know I've been following you on Twitter, reading all your tweets, listening to your show religiously. I appreciate what you do for us, but I want to let you know when you talk to Trump about asking him to concede and peacefully transition, what you don't understand, Geraldo, is Trump is not a person. He's a movement for 72 million Americans right now. And so I think you need to heed the advice of 72 million Americans and not just Donald Trump.
I hear you. And I agree with you. That 72 million is for real. Nobody can in any way denigrate that or minimize that. It's the second highest total vote accumulation of any candidate in history, second only to Joe Biden, 75 million, so or 78 million. So I absolutely hear you, and it's for real, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the hopes and fears and aspirations of 72 million Americans also rise and fall on these same, when you think about it, 50,000 votes in three states, Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia, 50,000 votes of 150 million votes cast. I mean, it's like such a drop in the bucket, yet it's making all the difference. We're watching with a great interest, again, this hand audit in Georgia. I think it'll tell us a lot, and it'll tell us a lot soon. You know, it's funny. When you hear the subtitle of my book, My Life as Roadkill in the Age of Trump, when you think of all the books that have mentioned Trump, pro and con, most of them con, Bob Woodward's has written a couple of them. I mean, it's a whole industry. And you think about cable news. What is cable news going to be like in a post-Trump, if indeed the election results, the preliminary election results, are sustained upon recount and all the rest of it? What is the cable news business going to talk about? How much interest will there be? I mean, the ratings that ballooned to stratospheric height, the primetime shows on Fox News Channel, the cable news channel, and the others, but the lesser, they are rivaling the broadcast networks, the big shows on the broadcast networks. Tucker Carlson has had several occasions, and Sean Hannity too, where they were the highest rated shows on television, not just on cable news, on television itself. What happens to all those shows? What happens to cable news? I wonder, what happens to newspapers? The New York Times and the Washington Post have been remade based on their negativity toward President Trump.
Well, you want to talk about being remade too. What's going to happen to late night comedy? I mean, you got Colbert, Fallon, Kimmel. That Trump's been number one on their monologues for 4 years now. I don't know what's going to happen if Biden does take over and we have a little bit more of a fluid situation in the White House. I mean, those guys are going to be scrambling a little bit too.
Linda in Parma Heights, thank you for calling 216-578-1100. What's on your mind, Linda?
I knew that's what's going to happen, Joe Biden winning, and I'm afraid of the guy to win and take over the presidency.
And tell me what your fear. Why are you afraid, Linda? What's the problem?
Because all I hear is the bad news about Trump's lawsuit going out the window and stuff. And I'm a Trump supporter.
Right.
I voted for him twice, and I'm not very happy right now.
So. What do you want to happen? I mean, obviously, you would like the results overturned, but if there's a fair, full recount, would that be satisfactory to you, or will you still have deep skepticism over the legitimacy of the vote?
I would probably have a negatory feeling about it because
yeah.
I think there's something smelled not so good.
So you think the president's getting robbed?
There's a lot of cheating and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Linda, thank you. I mean, that skepticism, ladies and gentlemen, is so widespread. But what is of more concern is the previous caller who said that it's a movement that's bigger than Trump. It is a movement bigger than Trump. I mean, there's 72 million people. I understand their frustration. I totally do. I just want everyone to know, and it doesn't happen to happen today, that when there is a result that is the best possible in terms of accuracy, result we could possibly attain, at a certain point we have to close ranks, whether it's behind President Trump and his reelection, or if it's behind the president-elect Joe Biden. Again, we have time. The electors not selected until the second week in December. So there's time, but it's not a whole lot of time, and there's really great unease right now. Spreading uncertainty, and it's not a good time for that. So let's try and get through this. But all eyes, I think, should be on Georgia and this hand recount. In Newburgh Heights, Brian is online. What are you thinking about, Brian? Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, you're on. So what are you thinking about?
Oh, hey, I wanted to say that you should be put in sainthood for having to put up with the things your wife says. All the false and lies she tells about Trump still that have been debunked. Ask her about when Obama made fun of going into the Special Olympics. Nobody said nothing about that. And then one other thing I just want to say is that I didn't vote for Obama and I didn't vote for Biden, but unlike the left, I will support them as my president because if they fail, we all fail.
I'm with you, brother. That's absolutely true. I'm with you and well said there. Dwayne in Cleveland, tell us what you're thinking about.
Yeah, Raldo, your numbers aren't adding up. That's the problem here. You've got 72 million, 78 million. Where did all these votes all of a sudden appear from? You know, Trump got 10 million more votes. Do you know how many Democrats I know that actually voted for Trump? All of your union workers.
What is your theory, Dwayne? What are you trying to say?
Well, we want a full recount in Pennsylvania and Michigan. We need to get these recounts right because if this goes wrong and we don't have trust in our elections, Our future is over.
All right, let me ask you a tougher question. What happens if there are recounts in every contested jurisdiction and the result is the same? How will you feel? What will you do?
Then that's a legitimate election, but you also have the issue of courts stepping in and allowing these votes to come in after. That's a legislative issue. Courts do not make legislation. They simply rule on it.
No, I understand what you're saying. For instance, in Pennsylvania, the extension of the voting time that a mail-in ballot could be received and counted. First, it was 72 hours, and then they tried to make it even longer than that, and there was issues about that. I get it. I think that everything is going to be resolved. Most of the lawsuits are already dismissed. We're going to be able to focus, and I really urge people to focus on Georgia just for now. Georgia not only has the two Senate runoffs that will determine the fate of the United States Senate, but more urgently, Georgia has this hand count, this audit, where you'll be able to tell whether or not Dominion was fake or real. You'll be able to compare the computer to the hand count. That's the reality. However disappointing the results may be to you, whether you're a Biden supporter or a Trump supporter, half the country is going to be profoundly disappointed.
Well, Geraldo, I have a question, and I talked a little bit about this on my Saturday show. That report that came out from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, I know we never heard of them until 3 days ago, but
Of Homeland Security, yeah. And mm-hmm. I read the report.
And they called it the most secure election in American history. I mean, I don't understand what a lot of people are, because right now it just comes off to me of a sports fan who's, you know, complaining about the refs after the game or something like that.
But I remember what Reagan said: trust but verify. Let's see. Let these recounts. And you don't have to recount every vote. You could do, as I said, random sampling, 100 here, 100 there. Is it legit? Does it comport with the computer? Is there corroboration? We can count a vote, and we can see if there's undue influence. I mean, I think that there are in this business, and it is unfortunate, but there are talk radio. I'm a moderate. I'm a middle of the road person. I'm a Republican. I like President Trump. But I'm a middle-of-the-road person. I try to moderate my views in a way that makes America a compromise between its various factions. I think that's the only way to get along. One side doesn't win in the sense that one side gets to, you know, dictatorially say where the country is going, what the country is going to pay. That doesn't happen. America is built on compromise. And I want the best possible moderate, effective, efficient, honest assessment of this election count, and I want it as soon as possible. I don't think that's unfair. And once you get that count and you have reasonable reliability that this is the count, then let's go on with life. But it doesn't do anybody any good. All right, now this one has a movement. I understand how people feel. It's deep. It's personal. But at a certain point, you got to let it go if it goes the other way. Not yet. Got a ways to go. Let's do the hand audit. Pursue whatever these lawsuits, many of them already dismissed, as I said. Let's see any of them have legs. Was it right for the court to extend the deadline on these votes? I mean, these are issues that will be resolved. And I think that most of them will be resolved by Friday. I think by this Friday, we should be 99% of the way toward resolution of where this thing's going. And then I want everyone to behave as patriots on both sides. Let's be patriots. We have a country to be concerned about. Marissa Acocella is a good friend of Erica and mine. She ran a great restaurant, Da Silvano's, in New York. A dear friend, as I said, a great author and artist. She does graphic novels. That one was Cancer Vixen. It was a huge bestseller. I mean, she's a cartoonist for the New Yorker, New York Times, Glamour, O Magazine, the Oprah Magazine, and others. She's a wonderful friend. She's written this new book. Before we bring Marissa on, you want to say something?
Oh, I just want to say that I'm that good for you, honey. I'm so proud of you. You are, for your words of wisdom and calming people down, and you. you guys might think you have a movement, but we need to calm down and all come together.
Okay, and that in that note.
Okay, on that note, Biden has 290.
Oh, and let's get to Marissa.
Glad everything's running very smoothly. Yeah, everything's running smoothly.
All right, so tell me the big shebang, and Marissa Acocella's on the line. Marissa, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Geraldo and Eric. I really am looking forward to talking to both of you. Okay, so the big shebang is the herstory of the universe, according to
the
God.
The herstory, not the history. The herstory, I get it, uh-huh.
Yeah, because, okay, history has been written by a bunch of men about a bunch of men throughout all of time. All we heard is history. And there's been a systemic sexism that's been in play. It's biblical since Eve. So, I mean, the whole myth about Eve coming out of Adam's rib, that really isn't true according to the Apocrypha and Nag Hammadi. Eve was an enlightened being, and she gave life to Adam. And it's, ever since then, we've been systematically maligned, marginalized, sidelined, slut-shamed, unnamed, and in God the Mother's case, as she would tell you, she wouldn't say she wasn't just ghosted. She would say she was wholly ghosted. So we've been censored. I mean, we're talking about truth and censorship. I was listening to your callers. Everybody wants the truth. And that's a global thing, and that's a human thing. And so I think at this point in time, we are at a very critical juncture on the planet, and the truth needs to come out in every area. And it's not just a divine feminine thing, but it's a thing, it's a human thing. So that's what this is all about.
All right, here goes. The book again is The Big Shebang, the her story, not history, the her story of the universe according to God, the mother, as told to Marissa Acocella. Marissa, thank you very much for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to end with one note that goes to the her story and to the history of the United States. However this election turns out, there is no doubt but that the Biden team should be allowed briefing access to briefings on coronavirus and the state of it, particularly in the light of these new vaccines coming down the pike, and briefing access to national security issues that are critical. However the election turns out, there's no reason to deny the Biden team access to these critical briefings. Let's grow up, put our big boy pants on. We'll fight out the election results, but in the meantime, for goodness sake, give briefings to the Biden team. They are not foreigners. They're not our enemies. They are Americans, and they deserve to be kept up to speed on the chance that the election results are not overturned, and Biden is indeed the 46th president of the United States. I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.